Thank you, Jesus. Well, I found out last night Sister Shirley wasn't going to be able to be here. Well, actually, I found out for sure about 8 o'clock this morning. But I've got something to say. Most of the time I do. Now, you will understand how important what you're going to hear this morning is after you've heard it and when we're finished. It will build until the end. So stay with me. I'm starting with this statement. There is no reason for a child of God to struggle in this life. Now, I don't mean that we won't have negative thoughts. I don't mean that we won't have questions. I don't mean that we won't have battles and consequences. But God's children should never, ever struggle in this life. I want to start with this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to begin with verse 3. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Keeping that in mind, I want to go back to First Corinthians First Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Now, what did I just read you? That we are what? Soldiers for Christ in warfare. We are occupational troops. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Listen. And who goes to war at his own expense? Now, the reason we should never struggle in this life as children of God, if we remember where our source is. Can you picture this scenario? Can you see this country sending all the forces that we sent to Iraq and Iran, dropping them there and saying to them, straighten up this country on your own. Find your own food. Make your own weapons. Take care of yourself. How long would they survive? Till they ran out of what they were carrying. But because the government of the United States sent them to do what they are doing, they can count on the full support, theoretically, of their country. The Lord told me, you've got to see it that way. You are here as a representative of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is responsible to supply you with what you need to fight the good fight of faith. You are not left on your own, and God doesn't supply your needs just so you can have a good time laying on the beach, enjoying the comforts of the world. God supplies your needs when you stand up in the church of Martin Luther and declare the lordship of Jesus. He takes your situation into account when you say, I will not be bought. I will not compromise with this present world. I will look to God and Him only as the source of my supply. I will continue the battle for the kingdom of God until His reign is completely established. That is what I do as a soldier of the Lord. Therefore, I can count on Him to take care of me. Now, it would be wonderful if He made us bulletproof. We are not bulletproof. We aren't. The disciples weren't. If they'd have been bulletproof, they wouldn't have all died as martyrs. The living and dying is not the issue. The issue is serving in the right capacity. And in this world, you will get wounded. Oh, it says you will have tribulation. God doesn't shoot His own soldiers. God has never killed anyone with friendly fire. It's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have been wounded more than once. But none of it was the will of God. If you're in a foxhole and you're in a battle and the enemy's forces are really threatening, and all of a sudden fear strikes you and you can't control yourself and you jump up and scream, "Oh my God, they're going to get us." What did you just do? You just opened yourself up to receive enemy fire. And if you think the devil won't shoot at you, try it. Now, this is a positive message, because when you get shot, there is a proof, a foolproof medical field hospital. It will take care of you, whatever the need. And if your wound is so severe that you do not survive it, you will be sent home as a conquering hero. You do not lose either way, because our side is the winner. And so we need to keep on keeping on. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Finish the course. And while you are at it, your home country will supply all your needs. Now, we're going to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, or we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. On Christ's behalf. Who are you doing this for? Yourself or him? Are you imploring because you think it'll solidify your position as a kingdom citizen? Or are you following your king's commands? We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Now let's think a little bit about this idea of being an ambassador. An ambassador of Christ. Now, we have United States ambassadors, and they are sent to a multitude of foreign countries. They are sent there not to have a good time, but to represent the United States of America as representatives or ambassadors of the United States. They are furnished with a place to live, a place to work, security while they're there, and all the supplies they need. They live off the United States government. They do not have to depend upon Iraq or Bolivia or Argentina or anywhere else. They are sent as ambassadors. They do not have to live like the citizens of that country live. If there is famine, the ambassador still has a source of food. If the weather is bad and there's difficulty cooling or heating, the ambassador still has it provided. We live as ambassadors in a foreign country as though we had to depend upon that country to take care of us. The world does not want to take care of you, especially if they know you are there in the name on behalf of an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's go home. Be quiet or go home. Now, what does that ambassador do while he's there? What's his purpose? His purpose is to be used by his country to build a relationship with the people in that country to do whatever they will allow him to do in order to help them based upon what his country has told him he has the authority to do. He is there on the word of his country. He is there to represent his country. The ambassador has no right to tell those people something that will be done for them or something that has happened or discussing some situation and giving them instructions that are not the instructions that came from home. Now, why is it that ambassadors to this world, as ambassadors for our home country, you know how much paperwork the government has? I mean, you got out of an idea. They don't do anything simple. You remember how big the Affordable Care Act was? Let's pass it so we can find out what's in it. Well, whatever's in it is in it. And if it's not in it, you can't tell somebody that it is. And yet, we as ambassadors so many times have been guilty of giving the world our opinion and not going by the book. Let me give you an example. An ambassador to India. An ambassador to India when they had the big tsunami that, you know, just destroyed hundreds of thousands of people and billions of dollars worth of stuff over in India. And they were in a state of turmoil. What if our ambassador had gone to the leaders of that country of India and told them, I just want you to know the United States did this to you because they haven't liked your behavior. And we wanted you to know you'd better not get out of line and forget who's boss. And that's what he tells them. So the people over there believe the United States did it. Now, is that going to make them submit and be under domination by the United States? Make them more loyal to us? Absolutely not. And the government, when they found out what he had done, would lay the law down to him and say, why did you tell them we did that? We had no hand in it. I believe that we have such an idea about what we are and what we represent that we have told the world from the pulpit, your disaster came from God because he don't like the way you're living, and you better straighten up or it's going to get worse. And God shakes his head and says, that's not in the book. That's not why you're there. That is not what this country represents. I am an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel of grace that God said, be reconciled to me. Get in right relationship with me. I will take care of you if you will just be reconciled. I will do whatever I can do to help this world, but I will never tell them that they are under the condemnation of God. It does very little good. They already know they're under condemnation. They want to know not where it comes from, but how to get out from under it. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Will God rattle your cage? Yes, he will. An ambassador gets out of line, takes advantage of the country where he is, the government of his home country will rattle his cage. Now, is there warfare? Is there casualty in the world, in the country where we are an ambassador? Yes, there is. Now, regardless of man's thinking, see, this is where you got to get your thinking more in line with the government of home. The government of home does not use violence to suppress rebellions. Now, a place where there is a threat to this country or to any earthly country, normally what you do is you send troops to another country to take care of the problem by force, if necessary. Why? Because it seems, in man's thinking, it's the only way. Do you realize in the Old Testament, God was dealing with citizens of this earth that had no real concept of what it was to live in the kingdom of God. And most of them had no desire to. And the ones that did were a threat to the kingdom of God that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest of the godly leaders never fought a war except for the protection of their country. They never went somewhere else and started one, no matter how bad it was. Not the kingdom of God. But if the kingdom of God was threatened, they were told to defend it. Why? Because they didn't know any other way. We have a better covenant on better promises that says, in the end, the Spirit of God will take control of this foreign country. But now we live on the promises from home. Now we live on the supplies from home. Now we live by the word of God, and it will not fail. There are times when we must confront the enemy because he is imposing upon our territory. There are times when the Lord will lead us into taking a stand against the enemy. But remember, he also told us the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Jesus never changed the world because he came fighting them. He changed the world because he came loving them. Who did he fight? He fought the religious leaders that were not doing it the way God intended for it to be done. He fought and conquered the principalities and powers in heavenly places and in the world of the Spirit. God is not at war with mankind. Man brought all of his problems upon himself. Why then should God kick him while he's down? Thinking and understanding go a long way in helping us deal with living in this foreign world. He will do whatever is necessary to take care of us. Some ambassadors are called home without ever suffering from a wound. Some ambassadors, like the one in Libya, came home to his country through death or through a wound. Regardless of how things might have been handled, I believe that in my heart, when everything is taken at face value, this country did not intend for that ambassador to die. It was from enemy fire. Yes, it happens. But when we're done, we go home. Whether we go home without a wound or whether we suffer as a martyr. Do you know why those men died as martyrs? Because they would not compromise the word they had. Thousands of martyrs could have lived if they had just renounced Jesus. But they chose to die rather than to do that. Do we have that kind of spiritual backbone that we can represent our kingdom, do everything for the people around us that our kingdom wants to provide them? See, the world, the lost man has no part in God's covenant with Jesus. But once he accepts the covenant and the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then he becomes a citizen of the heavenly kingdom with the rights and privileges granted thereby. But it's his responsibility to take care of appropriating those supplies. As Brother Scott said this morning, if we will, he will. And he will take care of us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's an ironclad promise, an ironclad covenant that can cannot be broken on God's side. God never says, I'm not going to give that to you because I choose not to. Then why are you doing it for them? You have to say one or two things. Because they know it's theirs. Or because they worked for it. You do not get advanced in the kingdom of God by your works. You get advanced when you believe for it. Because when you believe for it, you will receive it. If you are a sergeant in the army of the Lord, and that's where you are, and that's where you're happy, and that's all you want to do, then you get all the rights and privileges of the country with the benefits on the side of being a sergeant. But if you're not satisfied with being a sergeant, you want to be a lieutenant. What do? You obey your commanding officer. You put forth good service as a soldier and trust the rest with the powers that be. You can't sit around pouting, missing roll call, skipping guard duty, and then be called in before the commander and him say, what's wrong with you? And answer him, I'm pouting because I want to be a captain. They're going to work. Absolutely not. On the contrary, you may find yourself as a corporal. That's where the rewards come in. But if you're a private or you are a general, they will feed you. They will transport you. They will provide clothes for you. They will provide weapons. They will provide ammunition. They will provide protection. They will provide everything you need. You just must be loyal where you are. If you're happy being a sergeant, then be a joyful sergeant. And do what sergeants do. If you're a happy private, then be a joyful and good private. Do the best and leave God with the rest. And then you move up to a captain. You know, a captain doesn't have just more privileges. He has more responsibility. A colonel is the same way. A general is the same way. Generals get killed in battle just like privates, but not as often. Because they're in a position that they get less tribulation. Really. Does it weigh an army? But you see, you're not a general in the army of God because it gives you more privileges. If pastors were considered as army officers, just because I might be a captain or a colonel or whatever, doesn't mean that I necessarily have more privileges. Do I? I guess. Children of God that are really sold out feel like they're more privileged. No matter what you have. But I can say one thing. If you're a captain, a colonel, a general, you can write it down. You will have more responsibility. Who are you responsible for as a private? Yourself and your comrades that are closest to you. Who's a lieutenant? Or let's put it this way, who's a sergeant responsible for? Just himself or his whole platoon? And that lieutenant, just himself or an entire company? What about a captain? Just himself or an entire battalion? What about a major or a colonel? Just himself or a whole regiment or a battalion? How about a general? Just himself or a whole army? The weight that's on your shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. You don't carry it. You just respond to it. You won't struggle as much. I didn't say your tribulations would be less. I didn't say you get shot at less. I said your struggle would be less. In closing, Hebrews 11. And I'm only going to read the scripture. I'm not going to preach anymore. Sorry, Sister Shirley. Hebrews 11:9. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. By faith. Verse 9. By faith, talking of Abraham, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign land. When God promised Abraham the land of Canaan, it was his promised land. Where did he live? He lived in his promised land. But it was as in a foreign country. Because the foreign influence was still there, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Folks, that's home. That's where we're from. We're not of this world. Now, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They died in faith, not having received the promises. I'm telling you, keep on standing on the promises, even if you die in faith. Because if you do, you are home. But having seen them afar, were assured of them. Hey, I've seen them. They're there. My kingdom is there. My kingdom is here because I'm here. Because I'm an ambassador. And they're going to take care of me and you. They were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed. Believed, embraced, confessed the promises that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Maybe we got too many ties with this earth, that we can't enjoy our relationship to the kingdom. Hallelujah. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. One day, we're all going home. But until we do, let's do what we're here for. Go and preach the gospel. The gospel is not God's going to get you, but God wants to save you. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. If you're standing for Jesus Christ, God is not ashamed of you. That's my boy. Well, he's not doing so good. Yeah, but he'll do better. One day, he'll do better. One day, he'll have it all figured out. So give him grace. For he has prepared a city for them. He gives us responsibilities. But we're all citizens of the heavenly country and the city of our God. Hey, That ought to put you over when you feel like you may be going under. And then it won't be such a struggle. Because we are His, and He's not ashamed of us. They went to the city, many of them, because they would not deny who they were or where they were from. Before we're dismissed, real quickly here, you may have read in the bulletin on the back about the change that's taking place. And I receive it, bear witness with it, and have bittersweet feelings about it. But I would like to ask Ronnie and Barbara if they would come up front as part of this congregation and as part of the body of Christ. I want us to pray over them. Because if I find out that they're not representing us rightly, I'm going to rattle their cage. But I don't have any worries about that. And I'd like for you, the rest of you, to stand. Laverne, you praise and worship team that's here. Now we've got an elder that's in Nashville, and we got another elder that's in Cincinnati. So that's why they're not here today. But I want the rest of you to reach forth your hands and agree with us. Heavenly Father, with our call comes greater responsibility. And I thank you, Lord, that you bear the weight on your shoulders of all of us as we stand and are obedient for you. Lord, I know there's going to be adjustments. When you get out of your routine, when you get out of your routine, it's harder on you than when you have developed that new routine. So, your grace, Lord, is sufficient. And may they shine as lights, not only to the world, but even to those that they're ministering with. And I thank you, Lord God, for the word that's in them. And it's going to be released through them. And one, as one that is still responsible for them as pastor, I release them by your command into a new adventure that you have for them. And may your grace be sufficient for them and for us as we continue to walk together in the kingdom of our Lord and is His service as soldiers and ambassadors. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, you are still part of us. You don't say anything. Ronnie said he agreed with me. You don't say anything. Everybody, you're not telling them goodbye. You're just saying Godspeed. Amen. So be sure and give them your blessing when you leave. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessing, for your provision. Help us to remember who we are, where we are, and what we're supposed to be doing. And you, Lord God, will take care of all of our needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Go with your people as you promised, and let your blessing be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget the furnace situation.